Welcome to the Fuller Money Audio Commentary. This is David Fuller on Wednesday, the 19th of May, recording at 9:16 p.m. British Summer Time. Well, what a dramatic day here. It started in Asia, where stock markets rebounded from those oversold conditions that we had seen, and some of those indices, it must be said, had accelerated downwards. India, okay, that was a special situation with the election result, and it had started to rebound yesterday. But Thailand was another one. I put up a chart of that yesterday, just saying that, you know, it was overstretched, but we needed an upward dynamic. Well, we certainly got that today, and that was a positive signal for the short term. A tradable signal for the very nimble, but the only trouble is it's occurring beneath a lot of overhead supply and with an overall downward trend in place. But at any rate, markets responded very favorably to news. Well, the main factor that was cited was Hewlett-Packard's earnings forecast. And the tech sector liked that, but it just goes to show that markets, the fact that they bounced back so strong, it goes to show that they were oversold and ready to rally a bit. Now, that followed through in Europe with a vengeance. And we started with upward gaps for most of the indices, and that made the little flag type formations that I'd been talking about, where we'd seen the downward breaks and we hadn't had anything other than a dead cat bounce for several weeks. Well, we got upward dynamics in the European indices, so making the latest downward breaks failures, well, at least for today. And it also triggered most of my stops. Remember, I'd been running those relatively tight stops. Fortunately for me, and I hope for you, if you're operating a similar policy, that you were stopped out at profits, and or that you had the stops somewhat looser to give you more breathing space. My stops were really quite tight because I had very big positions, and I must be out of 85% of those positions. I've still got a little bit. I've got half my S&P position, which I had doubled up, I think, at the last week or the beginning of this week. Certainly part of it was the beginning of this week, I think yesterday some of it. And I've still got a wee bit, a small position, I think, in the UK FTSE index. But that has gone from a quite aggressively net short position to less than a hedge for my remaining Asian investments and gold shares. Well, Wall Street followed on in similar fashion, but with the Dow up, I think it was about up 108, 110 points at one stage. It was pretty good gains all the way around. And as you might have seen, finding out that I'd been stopped out on most of my European positions, and while the S&P was up, it was still 5 points below my stop, which was at 11:05, and I figured, well, that's going to get hit. So I pulled it out at, I can't remember what it was, 98, something like that, 10:98, and took the profit on that. But the profits that I took today in all of those positions, which really encompass the FTSE, the DAX, the MIB, the SMI, tiny profit there, negligible profit there. And did I miss anything? FTSE, DAX, S&P, MIB, SMI. There's five positions. Were not unreasonable profits, but of course they were a lot less than what was on the table a couple of days ago. I find with these trades, and this has sort of always been the case, is that one can deal lightly here and there. One should never take on too much risk, and I didn't with these stock market shorts because I added to them as the market was falling. Now, of course, you can either be content with a small gain and grab the profit, and I sometimes do just that. But if I think something looks really quite interesting and has good potential, then I will from time to time leverage it up considerably, but only when I can protect my flank. In other words, when I've got trailing stops and in-the-money stops on most of the position, and if it moves a little bit further, I can leverage it up again. Now, with that type of tactic, of course, all it takes is one day's good reaction against the position, and if it's discipline running the tight stops, then those stops are all going to be hit. And that will happen, that'll happen 80-90% of the time, but all that, but you'll still come out of that with a profit, albeit at a greater energy expenditure in terms of positions and thinking about it and so on. But it's often worth doing, I feel, because from time to time one of those situations will really break in your favor, and then of course one's into a six-figure gain without having risked very much at all. Well, that certainly didn't happen this time around. So, where do we go from here? Well, I mentioned that Wall Street started off strong following the lead from Asia and Europe, but then got nailed by rising oil prices. And I was sitting here preparing my comment of the day, and my computer screen is less than a foot away from my two Bloomberg screens, and I could just see this oil price just ticking up, ticking up, and ticking up. And incidentally, I got stopped out of half my natural gas position here on yesterday's setback. I put that up on the website in the comment of the day as well. That was a good profit because it was not an insubstantial position. But of course, then natural gas turned right around and pushed right back upwards. So we had a bit of a downward dynamic yesterday, and an upside failure, but today's action just completely countermanded that. So in other words, the better dynamic was today. Now some might look at that and say, well, that's churning, it's going to churn around, but I give the benefit to the latest dynamic, which was on the upside. So I'm grateful to have at least half of my natural gas position there. But getting back to Wall Street now, this sell-off, and okay, it wasn't big. The Dow closed down nearly 31 points, the S&P 2.81, NASDAQ just about unchanged. But following on from the rallies in Asia and Europe, well, this is going to be a real test for investor enthusiasm tomorrow in Asia. And we will see. People have been talking for ages about how Asia would at some point uncouple from what we've seen in the U.S. Well, here's a test, boys. It'll be very interesting to see what happens. What about Europe? Well, I think it would really take a bravura performance from Asia, which I don't really expect, to prevent Europe from opening quite soft. I would expect, let's say Asia's neutral, let alone down. I wouldn't be surprised if Europe didn't give up at least half of today's gains in the first within the first hour of trading tomorrow morning. But again, we'll see. I was a bit disappointed to see the U.S. indices come down. Although I've still got a couple of S&P shorts there, which brought those back to even. Sort of a break-even level, but I would have rather had some follow-through on the upside, and I would have loved to have seen 3 or 4 days on a rally on the upside, and then some loss of momentum, which would have encouraged me to start reshorting the positions that I had, and then if a downward dynamic followed, then I would just jam in the stops and leverage it up again, that type of tactic. So I'm feeling a little bit exposed here at the moment. Now, what else can I mention? The oil was bad enough for stock markets, but the bonds were soft as well. And although the U.S. Treasuries picked up, 10 points off their lows. They're currently trading at 104.21, but in after hours trading, but that's still down half a point on the day. And I think that's just a little bit above where I last took my profit on a short position. The JGBs didn't do much of anything today. That's where I have another short position, just about even on that trade at the moment, and it's in an initial stake. But the main point here is that the softness of these bond markets offers little encouragement for equities. It's a negative factor, headwind, in other words. Now, in currency markets, and this was interesting here today as well. Remember, I told you about that dollar yen position getting up to some of the first really clear evidence of resistance up near that 115 level. I did that earlier in the week. But we had a bit of a downward dynamic here today, and it fell back to 112.44, and is currently trading at 113.07. Some people are starting to go in and short the US dollar against the yen. Now, you remember all those people, I mentioned it many times, I've reminded you of that, of all those people who were talking about, well, once dollar yen broke 105, that it was going to run straight down to 80. Well, that's wishful thinking, isn't it? It just told us that the mob was short US dollars. Well, very few of them are today, although they're starting to come back in. But if one's going to play that trade, this is the time to do it. And I certainly don't play every tradable signal, as you know, but I'll look at that. I'll definitely look at it. I was going to say the only problem with it is there's a little bit of a negative interest rate differential, 100 basis points, and it's going to get bigger because Greenspan may well raise the rate. But if it ranges around here and shows a little bit of a rollover pattern, I might be tempted by that. The one I'd be more inclined to go for, though, and here again, I'd like to see a little bit more of a rollover pattern, is Euro-Yen. You remember I bought that one, and it went down a bit, and then it went up a bit, and I traded that out a couple of days ago at a profit, and it fell back a bit yesterday, and it fell back again today. It's down to 135.82. That's not quite a yen below where I got out of my position based on the spot levels. So if I see this steady up but with no oomph on the upside and showing sort of a rollover pattern, I might well be tempted to short the euro against the yen. But the only trouble with that is there I would have 200 basis points differential going against me, whereas that was working in my favor when I rode that trade on the way up. So I'm looking at a few of these things, airing my thoughts with you as I always do. Or airing my thoughts for you. Beauty of this is it's entirely a monologue from my standpoint. Okay, metals. Again, this was interesting here today because I should first mention euro dollar because that had come off a little bit yesterday but then picked up and it's trading right now at 120.13. Now, that's steady-ish for the euro against the dollar. So again, we're getting a little more evidence that the dollar's rally may be over. It's tentative, but again, I'd say evidence is there certainly is some evidence to that effect. Now, if we get the euro moving up against the US dollar moving down, basically, that's going to be bullish for a number of these metals. Now, stock markets sell off big time. That causes people to worry about waning growth or recession and so on, however logical or illogical that may be at the time. You know, the stock market has a mind of its own. But stock market sell-off would not be favorable for the metals necessarily, but it need not be an overly strong headwind overall, but they were firm in here today. All the metals were firm. Gold pushed up. You know, I've been saying that's in an accumulation zone down here 382.30 is the last trade here. That's up 5.15 on the day. And dogs of the portfolio department, silver had a good day, closing the July contract at 5.92. Now, I'm still a little bit underwater on that trade, but not all that much. Mind you know, one day swing in this volatile commodity make a huge difference there. But I've got a very big position. It's by far my biggest position. The stock market position was equal to it, perhaps, but that's of course mostly gone now. Talking about those futures, hedges, shorts that I had. So silver in July at 592. I've got scale up sell orders all the way on the baby steps basis to take profits first in my dollar account where I have silver purchases in US dollars, and I've also got silver purchases in sterling, all done with spread bets for the tax efficiency there. So an unnecessarily risky purchase tactic, but silver's lost downward momentum. It's looking interesting down here at these levels, but needless to say, euro dollar would be a key factor. If the dollar were to weaken, let alone weaken sharply from here, in other words, let's say you get the euro currently at 120.13, if that were to push up around, 125 or more, I would be very surprised if I didn't make some quite attractive profits on the silver trade and in other metals trades as well. Now, on the other hand, if we just stay here, or the dollar, or beg your pardon, the euro sags back a little bit, then I could be in for a long convalescence where silver, having spiked up and down, then just ranges sideways for really quite some time. Now, as long as it does that, that's okay. I could accept a little less and start trading the baby steps tactic, looking for smaller moves. But currently, I've been hoping that the volatility would persist here. Well, we'll see quite shortly. Now, in terms of other metals, palladium trading here at 245. Now, so I've got a small stake there at what, $5 or $6 higher. The other ones on the base metals, just put up my screen for that. One of the more interesting ones again, tin. We've still got that very big backwardation here, so my position, I believe, is beginning to move into the money, and that was an poorly timed trade overall. But it's the 3-month position closed at 88.25, but we have a $625 backwardation, so the cash position is up at 9,450. Well, my purchase is in there at 9,000, and so that's sort of edging towards the money. But this is a fascinating test case because tin's the one metal that didn't come down. I've made this point about feeling that maybe there was some hedge fund in there on the wrong side of a short position and getting squeezed. But tin hasn't shown any sign yet that it's going to break up out of that range, and that would require a clear break through the 9,000 level that held for more than a day or two. Lead, where I've got a long position, now that's in the money, back in the money. It's sort of been in the money and out of the money as it's just ranged here. But that three-month position closed at 760. I think my purchase 3 months was 738, and the get a reasonable back there. The cash position closed at 797. These are small positions. Overall, I haven't wanted to do too much in this area, but copper, I've got a keeping an eye on that. That's another one with the good backwardation, and my theme, supply inelasticity, and that's really going to be a crucially important theme for us I think, for really quite some time. So again, I think that these metal shares are cheaper, well, a lot cheaper than they were. The problem here, of course, is that stock markets all head south on an oil scare or a terrorism scare or a bond market scare or all three. In which case, the metal shares will get dragged down and become real bargains. And I don't think the metals would fall as much. And I prefer the metals. Again, these backwardations, the two positions I've mentioned, are working for me, and you don't get a better situation in commodity markets than a persistent backwardation. Having said that, there's an old adage which I've mentioned before: the bigger the back, the harder the fall. And the reason for that is if you get an absolutely enormous backwardation that persists for some time, and there's a risk that could be the case with tin, and it certainly was with nickel, going back to January, the metal goes up so much that it just chokes off demand, and people scramble around to find the actual physical metal, which they then deliver to the LME or other storage bodies, and they can, if there's a big backwardation, they can sell that at the cash price and pick it up again much lower at the futures price, and all they have to do is wait the 3 months to take delivery. So that's why those very big backs in soaring markets don't last. Now, I'm hoping that the bigger the back, the harder the fall doesn't apply to my tin situation, although it could. But if it doesn't, and what I'm banking on here is the fact that tin is not soaring at the moment. It's just very steady within a trading range and quite close. Well, it's within, and here it is at 8,825, and it's within, say, a couple of $100 of an upside breakout. So that's pretty much it, except I had mentioned juice, the orange juice, which had looked firm yesterday when I made the audio, and thought it said I was keeping an eye on that because this is so depressed. But it then gave up that gain yesterday during the late trading, closed at the bottom of the range, and followed through on the downside here again, with the July contract closing at 54.80. Well, go even lower, and it'll become an even more interesting situation, which I'll probably miss out on because I just don't want, feels too masochistic to go into something with a big contango. That, of course, is when the spot price is lower than the futures price. It's sort of masochistic to buy something that, however cheap it may look, that is still in an overall downtrend, and fundamentally it wouldn't be in this overall downtrend if there wasn't one heck of a lot of orange juice around in the spot market, and a lot in the in the crop. So I'm just keeping an eye on it, and my guess is that it'll just spike upwards at some stage on a big bear squeeze. That's the way those things usually end. But I'm hoping to get a little signal that I could maybe take advantage of, but unlikely. Okay, that's pretty much it. So onwards and towards another interesting day in the markets tomorrow. All the best.